From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, May 29th, 2026. The University of Maine System Board of Trustees has extended the contract of University of Maine at Augusta President Jennifer Cushman just days after faculty there passed a no-confidence vote against her. Faculty Senate President Peter Precourt says many felt that Cushman ignored shared governance policies aimed at including them in decision-making.
The vote of no confidence is mostly a show that we are saying that the conditions that we're working in both have been untenable and are not changing.
In a letter to members of the Faculty Senate, board representatives wrote that they take the concern seriously and expressed their full confidence in President Cushman. Democratic gubernatorial primary candidate Troy Jackson released his conservation plan in Augusta today. Jackson says Maine's next governor needs to do more to protect the state's natural resources. He says he'd dedicate more funding to land for Maine's future. The program has a goal to increase the acreage of conserved land to 30% of the state by the end of the decade.
And to meet the 30% by the 2030 goal, Maine must increase its rates of conservation five times over. That's how far behind we are right now that we have to kick this into gear.
Jackson also pledged to reestablish the Department of Conservation as a standalone agency. It merged with the Department of Agriculture under the LePage administration. Jackson is one of five Democratic candidates in the gubernatorial primary. Another Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Shenna Bellows, unveiled a new health care plan today that would provide direct state funding to hospitals, birthing centers, and community health centers. Bellows says hospitals are not being reimbursed at high enough rates to cover the cost of critical services.
It doesn't matter if there are two people, 20 people, or 200 people visiting an ER in a single night. You still need to keep the lights on. You need to have doctors and nurses and other staff on call.
Bellows says the funding would be part of her first budget proposal if elected governor. She says she'd pay for the investments through efficiencies in the state budget and proposed taxes on out-of-staters buying second homes in Maine. One of Bellows' competitors in the June 9th primary, Nirav Shah, says he would issue six executive orders on his first day in the Blaine House if elected. Michael Livingston reports.
The former Maine CDC director says he wants to immediately push back on what he calls harmful actions by the Trump administration. His proposed executive orders include auditing every single data sharing agreement Maine has with the federal government and bolstering resources for rural hospitals and reproductive health care. In a press conference Friday, Shah said decisions from Washington often feel disconnected from the daily realities of Mainers.
As governor, my job will not be to get bogged down in the day-to-day political cross-currents in Washington. Rather, my job will be to build a steady, effective and reliable shield for the people of Maine.
His other orders would tackle affordability by declaring a housing emergency and cutting permitting delays on new developments and taking steps to lower energy bills. Shah is one of five Democrats vying for the Blaine House ahead of the June 9th primary. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
The entertainment giant Live Nation is ending its involvement in a controversial music hall proposed for downtown Portland. But as Nicole Ogrisco reports, the venue's local developers are also preparing to sue the city of Portland over recent zoning changes that derailed the project.
Local developer Mile Marker Investments had partnered with Live Nation to propose the 3,300-seat music hall for downtown Portland. But the project generated fierce debate. And last month, the Portland City Council approved a new buffer zone between entertainment venues, effectively blocking the project. The zoning changes came on the heels of a ruling from a federal jury that found that Live Nation has been operating as a monopoly. Now, Mile Marker Investments says it's purchased Live Nation's interest in the Portland Music Hall project and that it's independently exploring litigation against the city of Portland. In a statement, Mile Marker Director Todd Goldenfarb said the project complies with the city's ordinances and should be able to count on fair treatment. A spokesperson for the developers said as of Friday afternoon, a lawsuit had not been filed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
The Bangor-based nonprofit Penobscot Community Healthcare has opened a second dental center, this time in Belfast. Kevin Miller reports.
A growing body of scientific research shows a clear link between a person's oral health and their overall wellness. But access to dental care is limited in many parts of rural Maine, including in Waldo County. The new center, located at PCHC's Seaport Community Health Center in Belfast, will feature 8 chairs for patients to receive everything from routine care to treatment for dental emergencies. PCHC President and CEO Lori Dwyer described Maine's oral health care system as inaccessible and unaffordable.
We provide access to care for everyone, and the impacts to the individuals and to the system can't be overstated. That person got their care, they felt seen and heard, it was dignified, they avoided a costly emergency room visit, which saved them money and saved the healthcare system money.
The center was supported by a $1.3 million federal grant secured by Maine's congressional delegation, as well as more than $640,000 in donations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
An unusual wintry storm will sweep across Maine tonight as cold air from Canada brings freezing temperatures, heavy rain, wind, and even snow in some places. Chris Legro is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Gray.
Down into like the elevations around 1,000 feet, wouldn't rule out seeing some wet flakes there in the morning on Saturday.
Legro says much of the state could see an inch or two of rain and wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour. There's a flood warning in effect for the Saco River in western Oxford County. The storm should wrap up by Saturday afternoon. Businessman Joshua Schurz is hoping to restore a once-thriving Maine industry. The last large-scale sardine cannery in the state closed in 2010, but Schurz and his partner aim to package flounder, cod, oysters, mussels, and other seafood into attractive tins to offer new marketing opportunities for fishermen up and down the coast. Carol Bousquet reports.
Joshua Schurz, co-founder of Maine Canned Fish, opens the loading dock to his canning operation in a Topsom industrial park not far from I-295. Schurz says he hopes the canning facility will be up and running this summer.
So the fish will come in the day of production, and we'll be receiving ground fish and aquaculture from all over the state of Maine, from the Portland Fish Exchange all the way up to Frenchman's Bay and as far north as Quebec.
Schurz describes himself as a lifelong foodie and no stranger to canning fish. He and his mother founded the Bella brand sardines, which are sourced and canned in Portugal. He says he recognized that there is a big gap in seafood canning in the U.S.
The $20 billion U.S. market for canned seafood, 95% of that specialty market is imported. There's very little infrastructure for canned foods in America at the moment.
Maine Canned Fish is one of 12 startups in the Dirigo Labs Business Accelerator Program run by the Central Maine Growth Council in Waterville. Program manager Jeff Frank says for the last few months, the fledgling businesses have been working on their presentations for a pitch competition to judges and investors.
And this is, as you might expect, has to do with raising money, but we also focus on raising the leadership skills of our cohort founders. So through this process, companies are working on their pitch, they're working on what their term sheet might be, they're working on learning about their financing options throughout the state.
And financing can be critical for startup manufacturers whose capital costs may include expensive equipment. Schurz demonstrates a commercial compressor which will sterilize the fish in the can before it's sealed. Each product will have its own sauce and be ready to eat out of the can. Schurz says the USDA has so far approved 7 of the company's proposed varieties, including cod, scallops, and lobster.
Lobster in a can. Why does that resonate with people?
Lobster is an iconic meal here in Maine, and I believe that we have created a toolkit to have a lobster roll at home.
Schurz says canned ground fish, in particular flounder, presents a new opportunity for Maine fishermen.
There's not a lot of flounder caught against the quota. There's a huge opportunity for a fisherman to land a lot of flounder, which is in the Gulf of Maine, and bring ground fishing back to the state.
Schurz says obtaining the state license is his last hurdle for Maine canned fish, which he hopes to clear by mid-June. He and his business partner plan to have 4 workers on the payroll this summer and then add another 20 once the business gets up to scale. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.